You're listening to Make It Thrive, the Company Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Lizzie Benton, Company Culture Coach and founder of Liberty Mind, and I want to inspire people to create progressive company cultures where our human potential can thrive. In this podcast, I talk to organizations, thought leaders, and change makers about the impact of company culture. Together, we can make it thrive. This season is sponsored by Semco Style UK. The Semco Style framework is a practical approach which helps organizations create a human-centered workplace and brings a proven method to enable you to shape how people experience work. Whether you're looking to transform your business for success, become more resilient to the challenges of an ever-changing world, or create a culture that delivers more engaged people, the Semco Style methodology can help you on your way. Are you ready to discover the tools to transform your organization? Visit semcostyle.co.uk. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Make It Thrive. This is the wrap-up episode because season 11 has finally come to a close. We have had 7 incredible conversations across this season with progressive organizations who are doing things differently and showing us what's possible when we're really intentional and take the courage to adapt to a new way of working. So I want to first of all just thank all of my guests who I've had on for this season because they've not only enlightened me, but I know that they've also had a huge impact on you as well. So thank you to my guests because without their openness, without their vulnerability, without their wisdom, this podcast really wouldn't be what it is. I also want to thank you, the listeners, because many of you have started to reach out to me on LinkedIn and share how much these episodes are having an impact on you and enlightening your thinking. So I just want to thank you for sharing your thoughts with me because, like I've said to many of you, when I sit on the back end of this podcast, I see the numbers and the metrics and the data, but I don't see people's faces and I don't get to connect to my audience unless you connect with me. So really, it's wonderful to hear from you and please do reach out however you like to. I'm predominantly on LinkedIn, but my email is also in the show notes if you ever want to drop me a message. So for this episode, I wanted to kind of check in on some of the things that I've been working on and that have happened over the past kind of 8 or 9 weeks since this podcast has been airing. And I also want to really hone in on some of the themes that have emerged from our conversations and really explore these in a bit more detail because I really do feel like every single conversation has had very similar threads, although they've been very unique experiences to everybody and offered us something different. There has always been elements and moments that have been very similar, and I feel like we can really build upon these. If you're starting out on a evolution journey to be more progressive, then I feel like really tapping into some of these elements might be a really good place to start. First of all, let's just touch on some news pieces that have really kind of riled me up recently. And I'm generally a very laid-back person, so to get me hot under the collar takes an awful lot. So there's 2 pieces of news that I want to cover before we dive into the themes of this season. The first is the news that here in the UK, the UK government have told local councils to cease all experiments of the 4-day work week. Now, this did annoy me greatly. They said that their reason for stopping local councils from doing the 4-day work week is because they don't feel like taxpayers are getting value for money. Which is simply laughable when that advice is coming from our central government. But anyway, what annoys me about this is a number of things. First of all, what our government sanctions from the top influences organizations and companies in their approach to what they're going to do in their organizations. So I feel like this is the UK government kind of saying, we don't believe in the four-day work week, so you shouldn't either. So it's a really limited, closed-minded approach to the four-day work week, despite the fact that the UK four-day work week trial across the UK, where many, I believe it's about 60-odd companies took part in the UK trial, and it was a resounding success. So I understand that local sector and public sector is very different to private organisations, but really, you know, when our government is meant to be influencing and enabling us to create better working conditions, it's really disappointing that they're taking this standpoint, because I feel like many organisations will now use this as an excuse not to try something different. It's also a really big example, with the UK government doing this to local councils, of this very outdated mindset of power distance. So this is where a lot of the time this happens in companies and organizations, where someone makes a decision that is so far removed to the people who it's going to impact. And so, you know, this is a central government making a national decision to their UK, their local councils, and yet they're not the ones experiencing or serving their local communities. So it's really infuriating and a really big example of this power distance at play, because really local councils should have the autonomy to execute whatever strategy they believe serves the local community best. So again, it's just a really clear example of power distances at play, and just another example of how backwards our UK government are. So for those of you who aren't the UK in the UK, that's what's going on over here. Very infuriating. On a more global scale, we have the WeWork bankruptcy. So funnily enough, I was invited on BBC Singapore last week to be interviewed by the BBC about WeWork, and in particular about WeWork's culture and about the leadership style of Adam Newman. So first of all, I just have to share that the interview experience was so fun and surprising, because when the journalist contacted me, he said, oh, we're going to do a Zoom interview about WeWork. We're going to do a segment on it. And I just thought, okay, we're going to do a Zoom interview. He's going to record me and then they're just going to insert it into the segment after I've answered these questions. So I did not know that this was going to be actual live television. Luckily, I didn't fluff up my words, although the journalist did say to me, because I obviously had to stay up really late because of the time difference. And I said, oh gosh, being interviewed at that time, I said, I don't know, A, if I'm going to make any sense. And I said, B, you know, I'm normally in bed by then because I like going to bed early. And he said, oh, just have a drink, like just stay up and have a drink. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to do that. But I'm so glad I didn't, because if I was slurring my words on live television, good grief, can you imagine? So anyway, that was the experience of being interviewed. But essentially what they were doing was discussing WeWork. Because although the WeWork bankruptcy is an interesting, I suppose, example of how a business unicorn can get things so wrong, what I find really intriguing, of course, is the culture and the leadership style that was very present there. And I truly believe that that was hugely influential to their demise. Now, there's a fantastic documentary on WeWork. It was released in 2021 through the streamer Hulu, and I would highly recommend you watch that, because it really does do a deep dive into how toxic the WeWork culture was, and how they had this heavy kind of cult-like culture where drinking was very much part of the workplace. I mean, that's obviously something that we know used to be quite prevalent, you know, the whole work hard, play hard kind of mentality. But to the extent that WeWork did was truly quite atrocious. So I would really recommend, if you're interested in understanding how they ended up going down this very dark route of bankruptcy and failing, then I really think, yet again, it's another example of how a culture and an egotistical leader who really had a bit of a godlike complex led this business into absolute disarray. So really, if you're fascinated by this kind of area, I would definitely give that documentary a watch. So they are my recommendations for you, and just a bit of an update on what's going on, I suppose. Culture news, maybe I should add that as a feature going forward. I also would love to get your feedback, of course, on season 12. So next year, season 12 will launch in the spring. I already have a bit of an idea for what I think I want to cover, but I always love hearing from you guys, the audience, because what is coming up for you? What are things that you're grappling with that you would love to know more about, where I can find some interesting guests to come on? But back to season 11. And the themes that emerged from this season. So I suppose this is like the cheat sheet of season 11. So if you didn't listen to season 11, which I highly recommend you go back and do, because some of these conversations are truly vital in our understanding of how to adopt more progressive ways of working. But I suppose this is the cheat sheet. This is me really drawing out some of the wisdom and inspiration that came from this season. And the first one I want to pick up on is intentional choices. So I spoke with Tom Haczewski at The User Story in this season, and he is very intentional about the way he approaches workplace culture at The User Story. And this word intention keeps coming up in so many things I'm reading and so many conversations that I'm having, that I feel like intention is a place where we need to start. What is our intention for the way we're going to be working? That is a question that I think so many organizations are not asking themselves. What is our intention? We talk a lot about purpose in culture, you know, why do we exist? And that is very closely linked to intention. But the intention is about the action. What intentional action am I going to take to deliver this purpose? Because that's where the alignment comes. And I feel like so many things we can get caught up in the day-to-day of our organizations is by default. It's just that running on the hamster wheel, just doing the same thing over and over again and never really looking up and thinking, why are we doing this and what are we doing? So coming down to that macro level of intention, you know, even to the point of when we think about our roles and responsibilities within an organization, again, people are wearing so many different hats and feeling overwhelmed by all this workload. But some of the things that I often see in organizations, I think, well, why are you doing it this way? And why are you doing it in the first place? You know, for example, reporting, that is something that time and time again, I see as these huge documents that no one ever reads. And they're really boring. I hate to say it, I've never seen a report that looks interesting. And yet we keep doing these time-consuming reports that no one reads. So it's like, even if we could just step back from some of the things that we do daily or weekly and be more intentional about them, surely that alone will start to improve how we're all working together, rather than just doing something for the sake of doing something. Anyway, that's my take on it. The next element that has definitely come up in many conversations, and this, I think this is like a really big theme that maybe I should explore even more deeply in another season, because I think even not just in season 11, but in previous seasons, this has come up many times. And this is around doing your personal work, the self-awareness, emotional intelligence, self-leadership that needs to come in when we are to adapt to more progressive ways of working. So in particular, this really came up in the conversations that I had with Ruth and Philippa at Maiden, and also with the conversation that I had with Christiane and Daphne at Semco Style Global. And really, it was about what work do I need to do as an individual to be able to adapt to a different way of working. Now, I always love the phrase, do your personal work. And that comes from Brené Brown. If you haven't listened to her podcast, Unlocking Us, it's one of my favorite podcasts. But in particular, it's a few years ago now, but she did a season where she had her sisters join her on the podcast, and they were talking about her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, because it was its 10-year anniversary. If you haven't read The Gifts of Imperfection, oh my, definitely do it. Like, it's amazing for your personal work. So I would say if you need something to read during the festive season or in January, just to kind of give you a kick up the butt, I would definitely say The Gifts of Imperfection is what you should pick up. But anyway, in this podcast season, Brené and her sisters talk about doing your personal work. And that is about taking radical responsibility for what we do as individuals and how we show up. And, you know, it's like when people are projecting their crap onto other people because they haven't done the work, whether that's coaching or therapy or counseling or whatever. But it's so easy to have such a lack of self-awareness and then blame everybody else and be in victim mode. And this is not conducive to working in progressive organizations, because as it's been talked about time and time again, we need a growth mindset in these progressive organizations. We need to be curious. We need to be willing to experiment. We need to be open to failure and picking ourselves up again. We need to be self-aware of those around us and also the clients or customers that we are serving. So this part of doing your work is, for me, always the missing piece of the puzzle. You know, it's something I'm so passionate about, and to the point where in the UK with Semco Style UK team, we've actually developed a course purely on personal development for teams and individuals who want to work in progressive ways of working, because I was like, there is so much missing in terms of the personal development piece, and we need to know what our values are, how we have been conditioned in our own way to work in a very industrial way. So it's kind of like, I think that we need to do the personal work sometimes before we then do the organizational work. And gosh, this has come up so much this season and in previous seasons. So really, I think that's always the first step. We need to be doing some kind of individual personal development work before we go on the organizational journey. And it's something that's definitely coming up with many of the projects that I'm working on, that we're looking at the individual before we look at the organization. And then we're really taking time to understand how these two things influence each other. So I suppose the message there is, do your personal work. It's uncomfortable, it's messy, you have to be vulnerable, but oh my gosh, does it pay off? Okay, the next theme that came up in almost every conversation, it definitely came up in the conversation with Ruth and Philippa at Maiden. It definitely came up in the conversation with Holly at Indigo Volunteers. And it most certainly came up with the conversation with Maria Jose from Cubadilly. So this theme is that it's a constant evolution. There's no end game in progressive ways of working or company culture. There's no end game. It's not like you get to a point and you're like, oh, this is great. The work's done. We're done. It doesn't happen like that. I mean, I wish everything happened like that. We all do, you know, whether it's our health, whether it's, you know, certain phases of our life. Like we're just like, oh, if I just get to this point, I will be happy. And then there's another point to get to. So truly, it is a constant evolution. And if we can adapt to that mindset and really think, okay, let's be experimental about this, then we will do far much more than if we're just standing still and not taking any steps. So even if you do feel that, you know, maybe you've got your culture to a really good place and you're thinking, well, we don't really have any work to do, I would say, well, then if you're in that safe, cushy space, what's the next experiment? What's something you can do to take it to the next level? Because I personally don't believe it ever stops. And that's not because I want to keep my job. It's purely because that is the way the world is. Humans change. The world changes. I mean, goodness, have we seen so much change already just over these past few weeks? So we can't just sit back and pretend that everything is fine. We have to look around, assess the situation, and really respond to the needs of the team and the organization and be adaptive. So it is a constant evolution. And again, I wouldn't get too caught up, because I know when I've said this before to people, they will say, oh, then we're going to create this evolution strategy. Like, everything is a strategy. I don't know where this has come from, but it really is an obsession that we have to create this like annual 4.0 strategy that's going to achieve all of these outcomes. That's a very predictive mindset, and that doesn't help us for when things are complex and messy. What I would recommend to you is to take it by quarter or three monthly. You know, what can we do from January to March to try something different? Like, what's one experiment that we can see? You know, I mean, a good example of this right now is Shopify. I don't know whether any of you have seen what Shopify have been doing for the past year, but they've just focused on one element of their culture. And so what they've done is said, right, meetings cost us money. So everyone is always in meetings, and we need to figure out how we reduce meetings, how we make them more effective. So they've spent this entire year just optimizing meetings. Now, to many people, that would be like, just meetings. Yeah, just meetings. Just meetings, because that is something they have recognized as a serious pain point in their organization. And what they've done is done these micro experiments throughout the year of going, okay, this month we're going to have no meetings whatsoever. I don't know if anyone remembers that back in January. They just said to their team, okay, no meetings. No one's allowed to book meetings. We're just going to see what happens when we can clear our calendar and get more intentional about when we add those meetings back in. So they had no meetings for a month. And then they went on to do the meetings calculator, which has been a bit controversial, but again, has proven as an experiment that people can get a lot more aware about how they're spending their time. So it's super fascinating. Just take one thing and see where you can take it. See what you can do with it. The next is to have courage and vulnerability. We need courage and vulnerability when we're on this journey. It is hard, and it takes a lot of us to be human. There's no longer this professional mask of perfectionism. We need to say that didn't work. We need to be willing to hold our hands up and say when we've made mistakes or it didn't work. So courage and vulnerability is another key theme. And I think as well, that really ties into the practicing what we preach. This has been a constant theme in terms of not only the conversations we've had in season 11, but also in previous seasons, because so much of the time we're not practicing what we preach. You know, how many times do we even offer up our friends some really good advice, but don't follow that advice ourselves? The same thing happens all the time. It happens to me as a coach. I have to take regular phases of reflection and introspection so that I can make sure that I'm showing up in the way that I should be for my clients and my projects. So even as leaders, we need to have some reflection of, am I practicing what I preach? It's so easy for business owners and founders to complain about employees and kind of be like, oh, but they're not doing this, but they're not doing that. Let's all take some radical responsibility and make sure that we're showing up 100%, because if we're not showing up, how can we possibly criticize or judge anyone else on how they're showing up? So those were some of the themes from this season. I have probably ranted quite a lot on this episode, so I do apologize if it has been quite a pacey conversation on this session. But as always, I would just love to hear your thoughts, because it is really nice to meet some of my listeners and to interact with you and understand what topics are coming up for you. You know, I'm very aware that I sit in my realm of culture and different ways of working, but I also want to invite some of your areas and your landscape into this map that we're creating. So I'm going to wrap up now and bid you all a cheerio, as my mum says, cheerio, and let's perhaps reconvene on season 12 and explore something new for that chapter. But in the meantime, I hope that you have the most gorgeous end to your year. Do reach out to me, like I say, and if you can, give me a little like or a review, or pass this on to someone you know who might enjoy it. I would really be grateful as well. But thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you have a great week. You've been listening to Make It Thrive, the Company Culture Podcast, with me, your host, Lizzie Benton. If you've enjoyed listening and want to keep up with all things culture, don't forget to subscribe. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to welcoming you back next week.